Radio Krishna presents The Nectar of Devotion. Many people think that the final goal of spirituality is nirvana, emptiness, some bleak nothingness, or a mindless void of white light, without personal consciousness, without activity, without relationship, and without love and laughter. Not so, as the hearers of this program will discover. Present The Nectar of Devotion, a fascinating look at the yoga of bhakti, the path of devotion that has been practiced for thousands of years by great mystics and spiritual seekers. The Nectar of Devotion covers everything from the beginning stages of the search for truth to the most highly advanced realms of transcendental experience. This program goes beyond the limitations of empty religious sentiment and dry philosophical speculation, introducing the listener to the rich treasure house of spiritual thoughts and emotions that accompany true self-realization. And now, for your pleasure, The Nectar of Devotion.
Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all that be, the embodiment of bliss, destination of the pure devotee. He's the all-pervading truth, the eternally existing you, and he comes to take you home. Yes, he comes to take you home. Of the splendid, he is splendor. He is victory and adventure. He's the good quality in all righteous men. Of creation, he's beginning, middle, and end. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of the senses, he's the mind. Among men, he is the monarch. Of subduers, he is time. Of secrets, he is silence. And he comes to end the violence that terrifies the earth. Yes, he's come and taken birth. In the sound of his holy name, the Lord and his name are the same. That's the nature of the Absolute. And he comes to give his truth as he plays upon his flute.
Welcome to Nectar of Devotion. In our last two Nectar of Devotion programs, we've taken a look at the progressive intimacy of love with Krishna, God. We discussed neutral and passive love, love from the position of servitude. Today we're used to frame the very intimate dealings with Krishna as an equal.
Krishna the Supreme.
Although we can never be equal with God, one who is in full love with God satisfies Him by playing as an equal. When a devotee is permanently situated in devotional service, and by different symptoms of ecstasy, he has developed and matured a fraternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, his feeling is called fraternal love of God, or friendship. When one is liberated and discovers his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, the Lord Himself becomes an impetus for increasing fraternal love. The eternal associates of the Lord in Vrindavan, His home place, have described this as follows.
Lord Krishna, whose bodily hue is like the Indranila gem, whose smiling is as beautiful as the Kunda flower, whose silk dress is as yellow as the golden autumn foliage, whose chest is beautiful with garlands of flowers, and who is always playing upon his flute, this enemy of the Agha demon is always attracting our hearts by wandering about Vrindavan.
Impetus to fraternal love upon seeing the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan is also very natural, for their personal bodily features, their qualities and their dress are all equal to Krishna's. These associates are always happy in their service to Krishna, and they are generally known as Vyasyas, or friends of the same age. The Vyasyas are fully confident of protection by Krishna. Devotees sometimes pray,
"Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Vyasyas of Krishna, who are firmly convinced of Krishna's friendship and protection, and whose devotion to Krishna is ever fixed. They are fearless, and on the level equal with Krishna, they discharge their transcendental loving devotional service."
As the Vyasya friends in Vrindavan are concerned, they become greatly distressed when they cannot see Krishna even for a moment. There is the following prayer by a devotee for the Vyasyas in Vrindavan.
All glories to Krishna's Vyasyas, who are just like Krishna in their age, qualities, pastimes, dress and beauty. They are accustomed to playing on their flutes made of palm leaves, and they all have buffalo horn bugles ornamented like Krishna's, with jewels such as Indranila and gold and coral. They are always jubilant like Krishna. May these glorious companions of Krishna always protect us.
The Vyasyas in Vrindavan are in such intimate friendship with Krishna that sometimes they think themselves as good as Krishna. Here is an instance of such friendly feeling. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill with his left hand, the Vyasyas said,
"Dear friend, you have been standing for the last 7 days and nights without any rest. This is very troublesome for us, because we see that you have undertaken a severely laborious task. We think, therefore, that you need not continue to stand in that way holding the hill. you just transfer it onto Sudama's hand. We are very much aggrieved to see you in this position. If you think that Sudama is not able to support Govardhan Hill, then at least you should change hands. Instead of supporting it with your left hand, please transfer it to your right hand so that we can give your left hand a massage.
This is an instance of intimacy, showing how much the Vyasas consider themselves to be equal to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit,
"My dear king, these cowherd boys are now playing with the Supreme Person, Krishna, as though they were on an equal level. By this, anyone can understand that these boys must have accumulated heaps of the results of pious activities to enable them to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such an intimate friendship."
Within Gokula, Krishna's Vyasas are generally divided into four groups: the well-wishers, his friends, his confidential friends, and his intimate friends. Krishna's well-wisher friends are a little bit older than Krishna, and they have some paternal affection for him. Because of their being older than Krishna, they always try to protect him from any harm. As such, they sometimes bear weapons so that they can chastise any mischievous persons who want to do harm to Krishna. One of the elderly friends said,
"My dear Mandali Bhadra, why are you wielding a shining sword as though you were running toward the demon Aristasura to kill him? And my dear Baladev, why are you unnecessarily bearing that heavy plow? If you will all look more closely, you will see that it is only a thundercloud upon Govardhan Hill. It is not the Aristasura demon in the shape of a bull, as you have imagined."
These older, well-wishing friends of Krishna had imagined a large cloud to be Aristasura appearing in the shape of a large bull, a great demon. In the midst of their excitement, one of them ascertained that it was actually only a cloud on Govardhan Hill. He therefore informed the others not to take the trouble of worrying about Krishna, because there was no present danger from the Aristasura demon. Among the well-wishers' friends, Mandali Bhadra and Balabhadra are the chiefs. Mandali Bhadra is described as follows.
"His complexion is yellowish, and his dress is very attractive. He always carries a stick of various colors. He wears a peacock feather on his head and always looks very beautiful."
Mandali Bhadra's attitude is revealed in this statement.
"My dear friends, our beloved Krishna is now very tired from working with the cows in the pasturing grounds and from traveling all over the forests. I can see that he is very fatigued. Let me massage his head silently while he is taking rest in his house. And you, Subal, you just massage his thighs."
Baladeva's affection for Krishna is illustrated in this statement to Subal.
"My dear friend, please inform Krishna not to go to Kaliya's lake today. Today is his birthday, and so I wish to go along with Mother Yashoda to bathe him. Tell him he should not leave the house today."
This shows how Balaram, Krishna's elder brother, took care of Krishna with parental love within the scope of fraternal affection. The second standard of intimate friendship is the standard of being an equal friend with Krishna. Friends who are younger than Krishna, who are always attached to him and who give him all kinds of service are called ordinary friends or simple friends. Such ordinary friends are called sas. All of these Sakha friends of Krishna seek only to serve him. Sometimes some of them would rise early in the morning and immediately go to Krishna's place and wait at the door to see Krishna and to accompany him to the pasturing ground. In the meantime, Krishna would be dressed by Mother Yashoda, and when she would see a boy standing at the door, she would call him.
"Well, Vishal, why are you standing there? Come here, my boy."
So with the permission of Mother Yashoda, he would immediately enter the house. And while Mother Yashoda was dressing Krishna, he would try to help put on Krishna's ankle bells, and Krishna would jokingly strike him with his flute. Then Mother Yashoda would call,
"Krishna, what is this? Why are you teasing your friend?"
And Krishna would laugh, and the friends would also laugh. These are some of the activities of Krishna's Sakhas. Sometimes the Sakhas would take care of the cows who were going hither and thither. They would tell Krishna,
"Your cows are going off here and there."
And Krishna would thank them. Sometimes, when Krishna and his Sakha friends went to the pasturing ground, Kamsa the demon would send a demon to kill Krishna. Therefore, almost every day there was a fight with some different kind of demon. After fighting with a demon, Krishna would feel fatigued. The hairs on his head would be scattered, and the Sakha friends would immediately come and try to relieve him in different ways. Some friends would say,
"My dear Vishal, please, take this fan of lotus leaves and fan Krishna so that he may feel some comfort. Varutapa, you just brush the scattered hairs on Krishna's head which have fallen upon his face. Rishaba, don't talk unnecessarily. Immediately massage Krishna's body. His arms have become tired from fighting and wrestling with that demon. Oh, just see how our friend Krishna has become tired."
These are some examples of the treatment given to Krishna by his Sakha friends. One of the Sakhas, known as Devaprastha, is described as follows.
"He is very strong, a ready scholar, and is very expert in playing ball. He wears white trousers, and he ties his hair into a bunch with a rope. Whenever there is a fight between Krishna and the demons, Devaprastha is the first to help, and he fights just like an elephant."
One of the gopis once said to her friend,
"My dear beautiful friend, when Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, was taking rest within the cave of a hill, he was keeping his head on the arms of Sridham, and he was putting his left hand on Dama's chest. Taking this opportunity, Devaprastha, out of strong affection for Krishna, immediately began to massage his legs."
Such are the activities of Krishna's friends out in the pasturing ground. The third category of intimate fraternal love with Krishna is confidential. The more confidential friends are called Priya Shakas and are almost Krishna's age. Because of their very confidential friendship, their behavior is only on the basis of pure friendship. The behavior of other friends is on the ground of paternal love or servitude. But the basic principle of the confidential friends is simply friendship on a very equal level. By their various activities in different pastimes, all of these friends give transcendental pleasure to Krishna. The behavior of these confidential friends is described by a friend of Radha, Krishna's conjugal lover.
My dear graceful Radha, your intimate friend Krishna is also served by his intimate boyfriends. Some of them cut jokes with him in mild voices and please him very much by this.
For example, Krishna had one Brahmin friend whose name was Madhu Mangala. This boy would joke by playing the part of a greedy Brahmin priest. Whenever the friends ate, he would eat more than anyone else, especially laddu sweets, of which he was very fond. Then, after eating more laddus than anyone else, Madhu Mangala would still not be satisfied, and he would say to Krishna,
"If you give me one more laddu, then I shall be pleased to give you my blessings, so that your friend Radharani will be very much pleased with you."
The Brahmins are supposed to give blessings to the Vaishyas or the farmers and merchant caste. And Krishna presented himself as the son of King Nanda, a farmer and a merchant. So the Brahmin boy was right by giving blessings to Krishna. Thus Krishna was very pleased by his friend's blessing, and he would supply him with more and more sweets. Sometimes a confidential friend would come before Krishna and embrace him with great affection and love. Another friend would then come up from the rear and cover Krishna's eyes with his hands. Krishna would always feel very happy by such dealings with his confidential friends. Out of all these confidential friends, Sri Dama is considered to be the chief.
Sri Dama used to put on a yellowed colored trousers. He would carry a buffalo horn, and his turban was of reddish copper color. His bodily complexion was blackish, and around his neck there was a nice garland. He would always challenge Krishna in joking friendship.
Sometimes Sri Dama used to address Krishna thus,
"Oh, you are so cruel that you left us alone on the bank of the Jamuna, and we were all mad from not seeing you there. Now it is our great fortune that we are able to see you here. If you want to pacify us, you must embrace each one of us with your arms. But believe me, my dear friend, a moment's absence from you creates great havoc, not only for us, but for the cows also. Everything becomes disarranged, and we become mad after you."
Number 4. Confidential friendship. There are other friends who are still more confidential. They are called Priya Narma, or intimate friends. There was talk amongst the friends of Radharani, the gopis, the cowherd girls, about these most intimate friends. One cowherd girl addressed Radharani thus,
"My dear delicate one, just see how Subal is whispering your message into Krishna's ear. How he is delivering the confidential letter of Shyamadasi silently into Krishna's hand. How he is delivering the betel nuts prepared by Palika into Krishna's mouth. And how he is decorating Krishna with the garland prepared by Taraka. Did you know, my dear friend, that all these most intimate friends of Krishna are always engaged in his service in this way?"
Out of the many intimate Priyanama friends, Subal and Ujjvala are considered to be the most prominent. Subala's body is described as follows.
"His complexion is just like molten gold. He is very, very dear to Krishna. He always has a garland around his neck, and he wears yellow clothing. His eyes are just like lotus flower petals, and he is so intelligent that by his talking and his moral instructions, all the other friends take the highest pleasure."
The degree of intimacy shared by Krishna and Subal can be understood by the fact that the talks between them were so confidential that no one else could understand what they were saying. The description of Ujjvala, another intimate friend, is given as follows.
"Ujjvala always wears some garment of orange color, and the movement of his eyes are always very restless. He likes to decorate himself with all kinds of flowers. His bodily hue is almost like Krishna's, and on his neck there is always a necklace of pearls. He is always very dear to the Lord."
About the confidential service of Ujjvala, this statement is to be found addressed by Radharani to one of her friends.
"My dear friend, it is impossible for me to keep my prestige. I wanted to avoid talking to Krishna anymore, but just see. There again is his friend Ujjvala coming to me with his canvassing work. His entreaties are so powerful that it is very difficult for a simple cowherd girl to resist her love for Krishna. Even though she may be very bashful, devoted to her family duties, and most faithful to her husband."
The following is a statement by Ujjvala showing his jubilant nature.
"My dear Krishna, O killer of Agasura, you have extended your loving affairs so much that you can be compared to the great ocean, which is without limitations. At the same time, the young girls of the world, who are all searching after the perfect lover, have become just like rivers running into this ocean. Under the circumstances, all the rivers of the young girls may try to divert their courses to some other place, but at the end, they must come to you."
Among the groups of different friends of Krishna, some are well known from various scriptures, and some are well known by popular tradition. There are three divisions amongst Krishna's friends. Some are eternally in friendship with Krishna. Some are elevated demigods. And some are perfected devotees. In all of these groups, there are some who by nature are fixed in Krishna's service and are always engaged in giving counsel. Some of them are very fond of joking and naturally cause Krishna to smile by their words. Some of them are by nature very simple, and by their simplicity they please Lord Krishna. Some of them create wonderful situations by their activities, apparently against Krishna. Some of them are very talkative, always arguing with Krishna and creating a debating atmosphere. And some of them are very gentle and give pleasure to Krishna with their sweet words. All of these friends are very intimate with Krishna, and they show expertise in their different activities, their aim always being to please Lord Krishna.
Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all that be, the embodiment of bliss. destination of the pure devotee. He's the all-pervading truth, the eternally existing you, and he comes to take you home. Yes, he comes to take you home.
Thank you for being with us on Nectar Devotion to hear about the intimate love for Krishna in friendship. Fraternal love is very familiar, and in our next two programs we will go even higher to the stages of parental and conjugal love for God.
Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the senses.
Been listening to Nectar of Devotion, a program that introduces the listener to the rich treasure house of spiritual thought and emotions that accompany self-realization. Through love and pure pleasure, Nectar of Devotion brings one to the most highly advanced realms of transcendental experience. Tune in again for our next in the series of Nectar of Devotion.